How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio. And welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Susie Ruffle.
And me, Tom Allen. Hi, everybody. Happy New Year.
Hi, darling. Happy New Year. How are you?
Well, great, thanks. Great. And, you know, just tripping into the new year.
A hop, skip and a jump.
I guess you might say.
Thanks for the lovely messages about the live shows.
Oh, I was delighted with that. Yeah.
People seem to really enjoy listening to strangers do the 12 Days of Christmas.
You know, you can't beat a sing-along, can you?
You can't. We did have fun, didn't we?
We did. And to think, the 12th day of Christmas only just passed.
Oh my gosh. It's like we planned it, isn't it? Is your tree down?
Do you know what? Controversially, we've left it up because we really like the tree. We think it's really beautiful and it smells really nice. So we've left the tree up with the lights on. We've taken the baubles off.
Sure. How long do you think you're going to keep it up for?
We'll probably keep it on for probably to the weekend, I think. Oh. I don't know. I mean, there is that lovely feeling, of course, of having that space back.
Of course, because then your room looks new.
It's a great feeling, isn't it? Put down the cards and various
sort of that.
Bits and bobs that seem
all
to have crept into
that.
The Christmas decorations. Yes.
Yes, the general knick-knackery.
When did you take yours down?
Oh, Tom, you know me. It was down on the 29th. Enough
down
of that.
For New Year.
Enough
down
of that.
For New Year.
Not for the New Year. I know, and I know people might be saying, "Oh, it's bad luck," but I don't. I refuse.
When did you put it up?
Before you, we put it up. I think the second weekend of December.
Oh, not that early.
Oh, maybe we took it down on the 30th, but I wanted it down for New Year. I wanted it down. I wanted the cards down.
Wow.
I wanted my living room to look clean and peaceful.
Okay. I just remember as a kid, it feeling like, it's so boring now. It's all plain.
Yeah. Do you remember it feeling like sort of gutted on Boxing Day that it was a whole year until Christmas?
Yes. Even though now I actually prefer Boxing Day, I think.
What do you eat on Boxing Day?
Well, I actually like to have a turkey sandwich, but this year we went to Alf's family and that was lovely. And we had lots of, picky bits.
We have our Boxing Day dinner, which Mum says like it is everyone's Boxing Day dinner, but I'm not sure that it is. Mm. We have ham, cooked ham, with mash and salad.
Oh, that's nice. I think that's quite...
Is that quite
I think ham is often a... Would you have ham on the Christmas Day?
I would, but I'd have ham any time. I'd have ham right now.
Really? I thought you weren't into ham.
I'm very into ham. I like ham more than any other meat.
Really?
That's a vibe.
Apologies to all the vegan listeners.
But I'm not super into meat. I've got to sort of be in the mood. I mean, insert your own joke there.
Yeah, sure. In a ham mood.
Well, you know, I'm quite hammy as it is.
Ham
sandwich and Christopher Biggins. That's my perfect day out.
Well, I'm sure it can be arranged. That is nice. And I think proper ham is quite the treat.
Yes.
You wouldn't have it on Christmas. We had a bit of it on Christmas Day.
Oh, yeah.
And then the carryover is, I don't know why I said carryover. I don't like that as an expression. But the leftovers you'd have on Boxing Day. Is that right?
Yes.
And that's nice. It's a nice lighter meal, I think, as well.
Yeah,
salad
is
nice.
Yeah. It's good.
Because I think I think that idea of a heavy meal is
Well, that's very Christmas Day-y, isn't it? And then you have to go for a walk.
On Boxing Day?
No, on Christmas Day.
Do you go for a walk on Christmas Day?
Yeah, we always do because we have to take Ron out.
Oh.
That's Mum's dog, Ron.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
The poodle needs a walk.
Well, that's good, isn't it? Because otherwise you can get a bit stuffy.
Yeah. And everyone needs a bit of fresh air. Walk along the beach.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Christine and Bob came around. They walked here.
That's nice. How far do they live?
A couple of miles.
Oh, really? That's good.
Maybe more, actually. Maybe three.
How long would that take? An hour?
I guess an hour. Yeah.
That's nice. Was that so they could have a drink?
Yeah, they'll have a drink. And nice. I think it just sort of made them feel a bit sort of, you know, it's sort of a nicer feeling, isn't it? Rather than being slightly cooped up and everything.
Yeah, no, I agree. Do you ever go to the pub on Christmas Day?
No, but people do, don't they? They say it's nice.
I sort of like the idea of it.
Mm.
Like going over to the pub for an hour. The pub on our road was open between 11:30 and 1.
Yes, that's so what they do, isn't it? Just that little
drop
bit.
Drop in for a pint before Christmas dinner.
It's not a bad idea, really, is it?
I like the idea of it. I've got to say.
Yeah. And also in all those sort of like old songs from the 70s, that's sort of what's going on, isn't it? Like they're kind of like going down the pub. Chaz and Dave are there, I think. And then, they're always there playing the piano in the corner.
The old Joanna,
particularly the Ivories. And then come back, have a bit of Christmas dinner.
Lovely. I don't mind it.
Fall asleep in front of the telly. Yeah, all of that. Nice. Rather than me sort of obsessing about what crisps to put out.
Yeah, I think you maybe need to like loosen the reins on that sort of thing.
True. Although, what I will say is all those, and I love them, and don't get me wrong, I love to watch those Christmas sort of cooking programs. And like, oh, you can just do this, you can just do that. It takes a lot of work when people are coming around. If you want to do, for example, pigs in blankets as an hors d'oeuvre, and you go, oh, but maybe it'd be nice actually to have a bit of mustard to dip in. That all takes time that actually, you know, get the bowl, put the mustard in it. I know it sounds silly.
But are you overwhelmed, Tom? Were you overwhelmed on Christmas Day?
And people going, you're right. Can I help with anything?
No, piss off. Merry Christmas.
We had the time plan. Everything was going fine. But there's just always something, some little bit that needs doing, isn't it? Which I think is fine. It's part of it. But at the same time, you know, watching all these programs, you're like, what I like to do is just...
Oh, God, yeah. Well, you can't trust Nigella. She's so relaxed about 16 people coming over for some...
It's very stressful. Unless you're doing like two side dishes rather than what tends to be like 10 side dishes, I think, whether you like it or not.
So are you taking anything from your experience this year into next year?
Go out.
Go out for dinner. That's a nice idea.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. Yeah.
That's a very nice idea. Mm. Do that.
Mm. I think I am, you know.
Yeah, love it. Let someone else do it.
Yeah, basically, Go someone else's house.
Support a local business.
Yeah. Well, last year we just sat around the tree. Everyone had dinner in various places and then came here afterwards. And we just sat around the tree. And that was actually a lot nicer, I think.
Oh, then do that.
I think
you
can
sit back to mine afterwards, can't you?
Back to mine after, guys.
Yeah, very nice.
Sorry, I don't know how I got onto pigs and blankets as an hors d'oeuvre.
I think that's fine. I went to a queer quiz on Saturday.
A queer quiz?
Big fat quiz of the queer.
Oh, that's fun.
It was just in like a pub in Hoxton, in Hackney, wherever it was, that my friend was putting on. You know Laura and Claire, they were putting it on.
Oh, nice.
It was such fun. But there were a group of people that had called themselves pigs in slankets.
Oh, that's cute.
And I thought it was very funny.
Mm, that's cute, yeah. Oh, but that was a fun time.
It was a fun time.
Lots of moustaches.
Yes, you better believe it. Some very fun team names. My favourite of which was Oppenheimer.
Oh, that's nice.
Like Oppenheimer.
That's lovely. Yeah,
very nice.
Yeah, lovely,
you know.
Lovely. Witty. Very witty.
Very witty. Very witty. For a quick quiz. But yes, now, Tom, how are you feeling about the new year? It is Jan 7th. The pod's going out tomorrow. We're 1 week in. How are you feeling?
Good, really. Yeah, good.
Yeah, good.
Positive. Yeah, very, you know, I do quite like New Year and I've planted my bulbs. So I'm waiting for them to come up now.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, but they shouldn't come up anytime soon, should they?
Well, I did cheat with some. I bought some that were half out. So I'm hoping they will, maybe.
When should we be having daffodils? Because they're sort of the first to pop, aren't they?
But potentially. I would always, well, they seem to be earlier and earlier. I mean, you'd probably start to see the shoots come up now. And then they might be out in March. Maybe.
I just worry about the frost getting there.
Maybe February. I think they're quite hardy to frost, it seems.
Good for them.
And that's what it seems anyway.
That's very good.
Bulbs are amazing. They're a little world of... you know, kind of little epicenter of
life.
Of industry. Yeah, of life.
An epicenter of industry. Tom, when are you going to have your gardening show?
I don't know, Suze.
Move over, Alan Titchmarsh.
Move over.
let this.
Dear Alan,
friend of the show, of course. But what did you call it? A little industry of life? No?
Something like that.
I don't know.
World of industry. Yeah, something
I'm drunk.
Like that.
We're both drunk.
Of course.
Of course, it's 9:30.
What were we just talking about? And we said we must talk about this on the podcast. And I feel like we've started and then we've forgotten.
Oh, we've talked about the fact that I'm trying to give up my phone.
Yes. Now, I think this is very positive.
Okay, so...
Talk us through.
I think I'm addicted to my phone.
I don't think you're the only one. I think it's a big conversation this year.
And I know that lots of people will be like, oh God, January, it's so miserable. I actually rather like January.
Mm.
I think it's, you know, it's quite fun. And it's a... Of course, my birthday happens this month. So does Alice's.
Not long to go.
And so... You know, I quite like January and I like the idea of like starting a new year and I like possibility and hopefulness. And I always try and take that in with me. Anyway, previous to Christmas, my dear wife said to me, oh, I think you should try and like have a go at like being off your phone a bit during Christmas because it's so linked to work for me. Like everything about it is like, oh, that reel did really well. Does that mean I'm going to sell some more tickets? Oh, I need to post about my book. I need to do this. I need to do that.
Yeah, of course. It's for all of us.
Totally. And like for so many people, I think like there's like an element of escapism to it that maybe began and then you sort of end up being, I don't know, like a bit of a slave to it. And so Alice said to me, why don't you have a bit of a break? And I thought, yeah, that's quite a good idea. And I had some things I wanted to post, but I thought, well, I'll post and leave. And then I have felt so much better. I felt so much better because I realized that I would be like, I would check Instagram, less so TikTok, but I don't know. It doesn't seem to hit my dopamines in the same way, but Instagram, I checked it sometimes when I was brushing my teeth and I was like, God, I'm on this all the fucking time. This is like becoming an addiction of like how the thing is, and you know, having just like done like this deep dive into anxiety for my book, I was like, I'm doing all these things. Like I'm getting out in the fresh air. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm having therapy. I am, you know, going to Pilates and I'm trying to do all these things. And yet there is like one really simple thing that constantly heightens my anxiety. And it's my phone.
Yeah.
And I know I have to be on it for work and I've got to post videos and silly things like that, but it's not that really. It's the incessant scrolling and the comparison. Like I watched that documentary that I thought was brilliant. Your friend of the show, Emma Willis and her husband.
Yes. I haven't actually seen that yet, but I'm very keen to watch it because everyone says how profound it is.
It's brilliant. And they are both brilliant. Like I think they're both fantastic and they're really open and really honest. And we watched that in the Betwixtmas and it was, and like Emma Willis, who, you know, I don't know her at all, but she was saying like that she looks at Instagram and then you like, will go like, oh, what has that person got? And you go, oh gosh, even you do that. And you've got this beautiful life and this beautiful house and this wonderful career. And you know, you've got children and you've got a whole world.
Yeah.
And even you are doing that. And you just go, oh, it just feeds this thing inside all of us. And I think it's actually really, really bad for us. And I think it stops you connecting with people in the moment. Because I would be thinking, I'd be out for dinner with someone. And then when they went for a wee, I would check my phone.
Of course.
You're like, oh, well, now I've totally come out of like what we're talking about and what we're engaging with.
Mm-hmm.
And just looked at, like, maybe received some validation. Someone going, ha ha. And you go.
Or even checking messages, actually.
Yeah.
Because you go, well, I'm out. In this situation you've described, you're out for dinner with a friend. Maybe it's me. I don't know. And
I love going to dinner with you.
Sure. And then, you know, looking at emails or WhatsApp messages, to what end really? Because one doesn't necessarily have time to get into the mindset of responding to them. So it's just a thing that hangs in your head. It's like, oh God, I'll deal with that later. Oh gosh, mustn't forget to put that on unread. I'll deal with that later.
Yeah. Or you've messaged someone and they've not messaged you back.
Oh,
not like in a, do you want to go for a drink? But, you know, sometimes just like, oh, I wonder why my mum hasn't texted me back. And like, and then the truth would be, oh, it's because she took the dog for a walk and then she didn't look at her phone because she constantly leaves her phone. But then I'm like, oh, I need to check in with, and you go, oh God, this is just nonstop.
Relentless, isn't it? Yeah.
Anyway, so last week I really like made a, I'm still posting stuff and I'm still responding to people on Instagram and stuff and letting people know what I'm up to, which I think is important.
That's what it's supposed to be for, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not scrolling. So I don't really know what's going on with anyone unless they've messaged me, which I don't think is a bad thing. I don't think I need to know what everyone's doing all of the time.
Absolutely. I think that's quite right.
Then, you know, you get your like screen time. Uh-huh. You know, that it, you know, your phone will go, last week you were on your phone this much. My phone use was down 76%.
Wow.
Because I just had decided to not, so because I wasn't going on it all the time for Instagram, I also wasn't going on it all the time checking my emails and checking this and checking that because, you know, also with work, I think sometimes like, you know, someone from our agency will email me and I'll think, I need to get back to them like this second. And it's like, right. You can get back to them in an hour.
Yeah, they're not, I think we all, for anybody, we kind of assume that if someone sent us a message, they're then waiting by the phone.
Yes, but of course, we're not the centre of the universe.
Well, I imagine we are not the centre of anybody's universe. No universe, yeah. But I think that's very important to acknowledge, I think, that what you said there is that we are sort of looking at it for sort of, well, I don't know what. And I think as well, it's very cruel in the way that it has got this numerical system where you can go, well, they've got X amount of likes and I've only got this amount of likes, or they've got this many views and I've only got this many views. And, you know, some people get millions and millions of views and some people don't. But then I went on Elton John's Instagram at one point. I was like, oh, not all his videos get in the millions at all. And he's Elton John. And I'm like, well, there's not many bigger stars than Elton John, who I've always been a fan of, as listeners might well know.
Yes, of course.
And so you go, oh, what is this sort of wild narrative it's created in our mind of going, you must compare yourself. You're not doing as well as X, Y, Z. They're coming for you. They're going to be better than you. They're better than you. They've ever taken you. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay. You take a step back, you go, okay.
Yeah. Obviously, it's like really prevalent for us with the work that we do.
Mm.
But I imagine it's sort of, hopefully this is relatable to people that do different kinds of jobs, because I just think it's sort of created in a way to make us sort of feel like shit.
Yes.
That's what keeps us on it, isn't it?
Yeah, and we seem to love that.
Yeah. And I read a thing about the guy that like is the head of Netflix. And I thought what he said was quite similar to what I guess like phone tech companies or social media tech companies think, is that he said that our competition isn't other TV shows. Our competition is sleep.
Oh, my God.
And so they've changed the amount of time that you wait between episodes on Netflix. So it used to be like for example, I don't know exactly the data, but like say it used to be like a 10-second countdown. It's now like four. So that next episode starts immediately.
Oh my God.
And it'll be something quite like shocking or, oh my God, we just need to find out what happens with this.
Yeah.
And then I thought, yeah, that's the same with social media. And it was the same thing with this really great documentary that Emma and Matt Willis made, where you go, oh yeah, we're all doing this.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
Anyway, highly recommend it.
Oh, okay. I've got to check it out because I think I often say about it that it doesn't, well, hey, I'll say it. I think there's a lot of people and organizations who recently, and I get why, have said, we are not going to post on Twitter anymore. And I'm a bit like, and they were very keen to tell everybody about how they've made this stand. But I did feel like, well, if you were really serious about it like this, why were you not doing this 8-9 years ago? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
It's been a very toxic place for all of my experience of it.
100%. Certainly with Twitter. It was such a bin fire of homophobia and misogyny for me.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
the experience that I got.
Absolutely,
just,
yeah.
It was loads of you're burning in hell, loads of like really graphic, offensive messages.
Mm.
And people like now are like, do you know what? I think this place is bad. And you're like, you're about 6 years too late, mate.
Well, you know, when you think of all the kind of, sorry, it's sounding very, gosh, I'm getting very soapboxy, aren't I?
Oh, I know. I love it. Take him down to Speaker's Corner.
Take him to Speaker's Corner. That'd be a nice place to go.
Except if everyone's speaking, then it's a bit, oh gosh.
What
I prefer when they have a day off and you can just have a nice walk around.
Just,
you know
I just
mean?
Like it. But the idea that what was I blathering on about?
You were saying,
oh, the people get quitting Twitter. Like, quitting Twitter. I'm out of here. And I just thought, well, you know, a lot of the kind of right wing things that we've seen kind of flare up in the last couple of years all started 10 years ago.
Yeah. So you're telling me that, like, misinformation about COVID on Twitter, that didn't stop you.
That didn't stop you.
Like, Trump in the White House, that didn't stop you.
That didn't stop you.
Lies about, like, the media, like,
anyone, anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, the encouraging of, like, right wing, like, the promotion of right wing activists, that didn't stop you. It was when, like, the richest man in the world started hanging out with Donald Trump.
Yeah,
like, you went, okay, no, this is too much for me. You're like, oh, what? Millions of people dying because of misinformation wasn't? Oh, fuck off.
Yeah. Right, Suze. Gosh.
Wait a minute. Parties, move over. Let me go on that soapbox with you.
LBC, are you listening?
Oh, I'd hate to do a show on LBC. Oh. Don't get me wrong. I think there are people on it that do really brilliant shows, including my friend Natasha Devon. And they're really brilliant at talking to people. But it would be an Ofcom nightmare because I would constantly be going, oh, fuck off, Graham in Sully Hall or wherever you are. That's enough from you, Bruce, in Huddersfield.
But, well, I think we put the world to rights already, Suze. That's good news, isn't it? Everyone needs to calm down on their phones.
Oh, God. Who put 50p in me?
Yeah, I know, right? But maybe this is the energy, you know, that the refreshing new year has brought. That's fine.
Yeah, I think that, anyway, I don't know if any of that's interesting to anybody that I'm sort of
I'm sure it is. I'm sure a lot of people will be listening and going,
that my phone and I are trying to have a trial of separation.
Mm.
But I just think I need to connect with people less online and connect with them more in the real world.
Oh my God. That is so profound.
Is that so profound?
Mm.
Is it so profound? Or is it the type of thing that, like, I don't know, Ariana Grande is saying on the Wicked Press Tour? Am I just copying people?
Well, maybe yes and maybe no, but...
And maybe that's fine. Maybe I'm allowed to copy Ariana Grande.
Maybe if all the people to copy, Ariana Grande isn't a bad person.
Have you seen it yet?
No. I've seen it 4 times, I think. Or something.
God, he is. He's like super gay.
He is, isn't he? Puts me to shame.
I haven't seen it. He makes you look like Bruce Willis.
I mean, basically, yeah, which I do already, as people
of course
tell me.
It's always the bold man you go to, isn't it, Bruce Willis? I was like, straight bold man, Bruce Willis.
But the thing is, I'm sure I will enjoy it. I just find if there's a big drive to do things at one point, I'll buck against it.
Of course, you love to be contrary.
I'm a contrarian. I don't know if there are any fellow contrarians out there.
I'm sure.
I will no doubt see it and very much enjoy it and think, why haven't I seen this for ages, and cry or something.
I thought it was so good. I loved it so much. And I tell you what, I knew it would be great.
Mm.
I thought Cynthia Erivo was phenomenal. I've loved her in lots of things. I think she's amazing. And I quite like Ariana Grande's music. But tell you what I was surprised by. Ariana Grande's comic timing was bloody great. Because Glinda's quite a funny character.
Yes.
I learned. Mm. And she was really funny. She was really, really funny.
It's a fun role. We're in the sequel to Wicked, otherwise known as The Wizard of Oz, with our dear Judy. And the Glinda in that is very funny. But I think without realizing it, she talks a bit like this all the time. And she's very harsh in English. And she says, well, that is my sister. Oh, you'll have made my sister angry there. Oh, don't worry about her. I'll send you home. She doesn't say home, as we do now. All the vowels are quite clipped.
I've never seen The Wizard of Oz.
Really?
Really, yeah. I think I saw the first bit of it and found it really quite frightening as a kid.
It is quite, you can, it's
and
upsetting.
And it just never happened for me.
Well, it's not, it's got that sort of sense of Auntie M. It's just like looking out for Dorothy. And there is that sort of sense of like, oh no, Auntie M, you're such a lovely lady, just looking out for Dorothy. And Dorothy's
don't like the forebodingness.
There is a bit of that. But, you know, my mum didn't get the videotape ready in time. So it didn't start until she walks out of the house. So for me, it was just a program about a woman walking out of a house. And then this witch coming along and saying, why are you wearing those shoes? Which is sort of, you know,
that's gay culture. Yeah, exactly. I love that we came to that together.
I know, isn't that nice? See, it's all worth it.
I also, maybe I told you about this.
What news?
Similar thing for me in that my granddad taped Grease for me.
Oh, right.
Over a Western.
Oh, I think I do remember you. Is this maybe in the book?
It's in the book, yeah. And yes. That meant that for me, the beginning of Grease was a saloon scene and then a jump cut to the first day at Rydell High. So I had never seen the beach scene.
Oh,
which is the opening of Grease. And it must have been like mid-90s. They did like another cinema release of it where you could go and watch it again at the Pictures. And so I went because I was a massive fan of it. And I guess I was like 15, 16 at the time, maybe a little bit older. No, that wouldn't have been the 90s. It must have been the noughties. Anyway, none of this matters. No one's like, Suze, how old? No one cares. But when I went to see it, I thought, I can't believe they've added on this bit at the beginning. I was really annoyed about it. I was like, it was perfect as it was. Why have they added on this stupid scene where they're on a beach? And I said it to my friends and they were like, no, that's always how it started. And I was like, well, I thought it was a jump cut from a saloon and I liked that. I thought it was more art house than it was.
Oh, yeah, that would be really interesting. Mm. Just really, yeah. And that you're quite a big fan of like non-sequential storytelling now, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. Huge.
Yeah.
Actually, okay. A lot of people have said that about my stand-up shows.
She jumps
it
around.
It doesn't make sense. You seem to enjoy it in some capacity.
You know, the songs are good. It was on over Christmas, as so many things were. And there's some very questionable moments in it.
But, Grease.
Yeah.
It has dated horribly. It's hot. It's awful. Like how the men treat the women. Yes. The whole message of it, of like, if he doesn't like you, wear leather until he does, I think is not the message.
But what the end isn't the end that they both try and be the other ones.
Yeah. He wears
a cardigan.
A cardigan.
Mm.
And then there's
yourself.
It's all really, it just does not age well. Also, they are all so old.
I know, it's so funny.
When Stockard Channing's like, I'm pregnant, I'm like, are you not menopausal? Like, this is like, that's really mean. She's probably younger than I am now, but I think she was in her 30s. The guy that plays Doody looks,
like he's about 50, yeah.
40, 50. Yeah.
And even now, being older, watching it, you still go, I don't think I'm that age yet.
Yes, yes.
But I do remember as a child being obsessed with two parts of it, which was Beauty School Dropout song.
Of course. Yeah, great.
Of course, which is such a like...
sort of queer culture?
Very much, I think.
Yeah, I think
that's,
so
that's the campus bit in it, really.
Yes,
in
of course.
Relatively camp film. And then the bit at the end when they all do the hand jive. But of course, I mean...
Oh, please, it's come on.
Come on.
Love that.
Of course I love that.
That's what I called your 20s. You know, when Tom was in his hand jive era.
Hand jive. That's what they used to call me down at the docks. But it was extraordinary, wasn't it? But yeah, so there you go.
So there you go. I hope that's what they're going for.
The signs were there. The signs were there.
Tom, we must go.
We should probably let the people get on, shouldn't we?
Let the dog in their lives.
I hope you're having a nice dog walk, perhaps, as you're listening, or maybe on your way to maybe your third or fourth day back at work.
Yes. Or maybe you're someone that's worked the whole way through.
Oh, congrats. Well done.
Maybe you've got a little break now. Maybe. Whatever you're doing, you know, we'll hope you're good. We're sending you some good vibes.
Yes, good vibes. Be kind to yourself. And I think as well, sort of going... I don't know about you, Suze, but I do find New Year's Eve very maudlin.
Oh, yeah.
And I found it very sad. And I sort of embrace that now. I say that. And
yes.
I think that's okay. And I think sometimes, if it is a sad occasion, lean into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do want to mention, Suze, before we let the people go.
Yes, please.
Did you watch Call the Midwife?
Of course. It goes without saying, of course.
What a lovely, sad episode. I cried.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. Mm. And I think her name is Maddie... Smeldley.
She'll be delighted. Shout out. Yeah.
That might not be correct. And I'm sorry that it wasn't. But Maddie, who was in The Traitors,
saying,
like, I'm an actress.
Mm.
I thought she was really great in it.
Well, that's generous of you
really
to say,
nice
Suze,
to see...
because you've been saying on this podcast a long time you're keen to be in Call the Midwife.
I think that me being in Call the Midwife probably I mean, I think it might not happen for me. And I think that I'm okay with that.
Because do you think you'd be so excited you'd be incomprehensible?
Well, I worry that their casting people would think that.
They shouldn't worry. I'll be there.
But Rosie Jones is a big fan and she managed it. You know, she was in the first episode of last series. She was very good in it. But yeah, I thought it was a great episode, of course. Huge fan. Obviously watched this week's episode. That was very good.
Oh, I haven't seen the new series yet.
Do you know, I love Joyce. She's great. Anyway, great ep.
Nicely tied up, wasn't it? Nicely tied up.
It always is.
Dr. Turner was very busy.
Oh, he's absolutely rushed up his feet.
He's absolutely rammed, isn't he?
Yeah.
But what about that sedative salesman?
Yeah, well, let me tell you, he's in it.
He's in it. Very much a bold B storyline, maybe even C storyline.
Yeah, I mean, just to meet someone and then go, I want to marry you, like that day.
I think he went on like two dates.
Yeah, and I know that people did things maybe a bit quicker in the olden days. They didn't for quite as long as our generation might. But I feel like even so, let's slow it the fuck down.
Well, I did think that, you know, yeah. And she, you know, when they meet, she's literally mopping up sick.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's a good sign, though, if somebody's still...
He does it, yeah. If you don't love me at my mopping up my sick, then you can't love me.
It wasn't her sick, but yeah.
Sure. Blah! Mop.
But...
Blah! Mop.
Needless to say, there is the recurring... No spoilers here, but there is the recurring theme of the threat to Saint Nanata's house.
Of course.
And,
of course there is.
So it is ongoing. And let me say this.
And what about Trixie's gay brother?
Oh, yeah. They've written, like, I'm like, really? He's back?
Are you annoyed that you're not that part? Imagine if we were both in Call the Midwife.
Imagine if we were both in it. Oh my God. Oh, it would be too much. People would be.
People would turn off. We'd make people homophobic.
Yeah. Yet again. you know, but it would be quite something, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it really would.
The gay, or I quite fancy playing the miserable guy from the health authority.
Oh yeah, the person that comes and says
people don't want to see a nun for their venereal disease. Is that what they said? Or
something like that. I'm going to get that put on a cushion for you.
Oh, I'd like that.
People don't want to see a nun for venereal disease.
Yeah, people.
There we go.
Jenny Agata always, you know, and lovely singing. There's a lovely bit where they're all singing. I'm like.
Yeah, they do Compline.
Every day, I guess they're there, so.
Listen, I guess you get good, don't you? Practice. 10,000 hours.
Jenny's done her 10,000 hours, no quest.
No quest.
No quest at all. She wasn't stressed about the side dishes. That was all quite a jolly old time, wasn't it?
But that's the thing. Jenny Agata doesn't overthink it on Christmas Day when she's
and the gay brother.
House.
She's got no issues with the gay brother. Doesn't even question it.
No, and I think maybe that's something we can all, you know, take comfort from.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Do you know what? I think she'd have a real problem with that.
But I think it's disgusting.
I think it's disgusting.
But for the time.
In a house with nuns. Oh, it makes me sick.
You're right. I shouldn't be. I'm sorry to any nuns listening. I know we do have a lot of nuns. Tune in.
Oh, I wonder if we have any nuns that listen.
If you are, please let us know.
Do get in touch. You know the peer book.
I think I will be in trouble here. I think people will be saying, well, actually, I knew a nun in the 60s and 70s who was very good, had lots of gay friends. There'll be somebody out there telling that. And I'm sorry.
There'll be someone that says, oh, they were very good at nursing people and they had no judgment. Oh, and
yes, you know. I'm sure there are lots of nuns like that. So I don't want to get in trouble. I just thought
Tom
it's never.
Tom thinks that all nuns hate gays. And that's the message I want you to take from this podcast. Bye.
I just thought it's interesting that. It's never quite questioned. But at the same time, I think he's not out, is he? Because like they're all like, when are you going to get married?
Yeah.
So I think they have handled it. So forgive me, everybody. It's just a misrepresentation.
That's true. But I think in the words of Destiny's Child, the writing's on the wall.
What? For him to get married? Or for him?
Yes, for him to get married, yeah. No, that he is maybe a homosexual.
Yeah, I think the writing's on the wall, as you say.
And I think it's probably calligraphy, which is a time.
Maybe a tapestry.
Oh, it's a tapestry. Mm. The tapestry's on the wall.
No, it's okay.
Okay,
well, we've probably covered everything. So,
yeah, everyone, if anyone's still listening, well done.
Well done. You made it through another week of us.
And we'll see you next week.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, everyone. Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.